With Breaking the Cycle, we wanted to tell the story of those within social, supported and the charity housing sector, but we also wanted to touch on the psychological challenges faced by all those within society. This short episode is with psychologist Dr. Vanessa Moulton, and it's all about personality disorder. Vanessa, what is a personality disorder?
A personality disorder is something, well, it's a condition that affects the way that we think and the way that we feel, the way that we behave, and effectively how we kind of relate to both ourselves, but very specifically more so other people. If you kind of think about all these things as kind of being, or they make up our personality. So if there's certain aspects of that that are limiting for us, they can contribute towards us having a personality disorder.
Is there different types of personality disorder, or is it just sit under one banner?
There's actually a lot of different categories or different personality disorders, from kind of avoidant, dependent personality, antisocial, borderline being the most common. We also have kind of paranoid and schizoid. So there is actually, there's a bunch load of different ones. But actually, borderline personality, as I said, is probably the most common. And actually, the research kind of shows us that they're probably slightly more common than we think. Around kind of 1 in 20 people live with some form of personality disorder.
So if we look at borderline personality disorder then, and this is most common, is it, within society?
Yeah, it's the most common of the personality disorders, yes.
And what would this look like in an individual?
Well, within an individual, as I say, they're generally speaking, someone who has a borderline personality disorder is quite kind of unstable, in terms of their emotions. So we kind of call that affective kind of dysregulation, that someone kind of really struggles managing their emotions, perhaps probably because they haven't kind of been taught that as they've been growing up, how they manage and how they cope with emotions that come up. So emotional instability is one of the main areas. Disturbed patterns of thinking or perception, the way that we are perceiving what's going on in the world around us or what's going on towards us or how we're thinking about things. So a disturbed way of kind of thinking about things. Impulsive behavior is actually very common for someone who is struggling with borderline personality disorder. And also, again, I'm just thinking of, when I see people with personality disorders, some of the most common things, actually, people really kind of struggle in relationships. Their kind of interrelational skills are a struggle for them. So relationships are tough, be that kind of even friendships, but also, you know, more intimate relationships or relationships with family. So, you know, those I suppose are the core things that I would look for someone, if someone I thought was struggling with a personality disorder like borderline.
So if we look at things then, like, I suppose where a person would look at something, whether it's black or white, whether it's I love them or I hate them, or they hate me or they love me, is it similar to that? Is it where things are one thing or another?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of, you know, you're kind of stating one of what we call really common negative thought traps, that black and white thinking. Absolutely. But equally, it's also about interpreting things perhaps in a way that brings like the threat system online, you know, fearing potentially getting close to people and fearing being vulnerable, for example. Perhaps I've had tough relationships as they've been growing up. So trust or lack of trust in others is a very common thing that people with borderline personality disorder struggle with. They really struggle to trust other people and being in relationships. So there's quite a lot of self-sabotage as well that goes on for someone, you know, how they think that they're keeping themselves kind of safe and from others who could feel threatening. Self-sabotage is a big aspect of it as well.
And then with that, then, do you look at things like because with the way you were saying it then, do they fear abandonment as well? Or could you fear abandonment?
You absolutely could fear abandonment. I mean, you know, this is absolutely, it sounds like a bit of a general sweeping statement, but we do tend to find that a lot of people who struggle with personality disorder have perhaps been through something traumatic in their childhood. So, you know, when we're talking about traumatic things that happen in people's childhoods, you know, people do experience tough times, neglect, or, you know, physical or emotional neglect, or even abuse. So again, that becomes the, you know, the potential threat that someone tries to kind of keep themselves away from.
Just lost you there. No, I've got you. Got you back. That's fine. We'll just keep running the there. And okay. Do you know, again, about emotions as well?
Yeah.
Can things like, and emotions and other disorders, things like depression, and then things like anxiety, and I think you touched on it then, things like shame, those kind of emotions as well, can those be amplified?
Yeah, it's really, really common, because sometimes a person who's struggling with these things will actually quite typically get very kind of frustrated, or they have trouble kind of controlling their irritation, kind of even towards themselves, about why they're struggling with things. So if they do struggle with regulating their emotions, if they do struggle with interpreting things in a really negative way that brings their threat system online, they might have responded to certain situations in a way that they feel embarrassed, or, as you say, they could be quite shameful of. Typically we know that someone who struggles with personality disorder, also there's a common co-occurrence with things like depression and anxiety, because, you know, this person is trying to make sense of and manage, you know, certain aspects of themselves that feel out of control.
And this is such a complex subject, so I'm trying to just kind of squeeze as much as we can in and give a very broad brush again. But when you said about self-sabotage, and then we start linking in things like shame and guilt, is that like a cycle? Could you then go into things like, I mean, you've touched on it anyway, like reckless behavior and dangerous behavior?
Yeah, 100%. If someone doesn't know, you know, I talked earlier about one of the kind of symptoms as such is a struggle with emotional regulation. If somebody doesn't know how to deal with their emotions, they can then turn to unhealthy coping strategies to try and cope with those emotions that they don't quite know what to do with. So yes, they can turn to behaviors, risky behaviors, to try and kind of manage those emotions. They can turn to, you know, drugs and alcohol, things that helps them feel like they're dealing with the emotions, or more to the point, even kind of burying some of those emotions. How can they kind of get rid of them as such? So yeah, we see a lot of kind of risky behavior and self-destructive behavior, because someone simply doesn't know what to do with those emotions.
Can people function with a borderline personality disorder? Can people still work and go about their day? And is there different severity of it?
100%. It doesn't necessarily have to be something completely debilitating, but as with everything, as I always like to talk to everyone about continuums, everything sits on a continuum. So there will be people who have certain aspects around their emotions and their thought patterns that they struggle with, but they're 100% able to function, you know, well on a day-to-day basis. When I say function well, it doesn't mean to say they're not struggling internally, but they are able to maintain, you know, and keep up work, be in relationships, even though they might be tricky for them. Equally, you also have people that have, you know, it's much more intensified, and these things that they do and the things that they think, or the way that they think about things, will mean that it's really debilitating for them, and they will struggle to engage with certain aspects of life that would mean they'd be able to live, you know, as a fulfilled life as they could do.
And then if we think that someone who we are around, a loved one or someone we work with or close to, has a personality disorder, what, or if we think we've got one, what are the next steps?
Yeah, I mean, I know I potentially say the similar things each time with this, that, you know, your first port of call really is to kind of reach out. If a personality disorder is absolutely something that you need support with from a professional, it tends to mean that this is something that's been part of you for a while, so therefore isn't particularly easy to kind of unpick on your own, or for someone to unpick on their own. So, you know, going to see your doctor to be able to get you some talking therapy. So very much CBT, actually, dialectical behavior therapy as well. DBT is very widely used with personality disorders. But also, you know, if you go to your doctor, there are potential kind of care programs that you can be part of, potentially, you know, do some group work as well. Group work is also really, really good for someone struggling with personality disorders. But there's, you know, there's more information that can be found on the NHS websites, and Mind and Rethink is also a good website. They've got lots of information on personality disorders on there and how you can get further help.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much, and we will leave it there.